And there's still theater on the London stage, too, not just in Parliament. First of two reports now, our theater reporter Jeff London explains why some of Broadway's biggest hits, and for that matter flops, have London roots.
How did all those great plays by Arthur Miller and Tennessee Williams or comedies by Neil Simon make it on Broadway? Well, before they got there, they tried out in front of paying audiences in New Haven or Boston or Philadelphia, says Jeremy Girard, theater reporter and critic for Bloomberg News.
A producer would read a script and say, okay, I'm going to produce this play, and they would put together the company and they would take it on the road. And that's where they worked out the kinks and would either make money or lose money before bringing it into Broadway and hope that it would fly.
But it was a costly and risky method to develop plays, and decades ago, producers abandoned it. Instead, they started looking at regional theaters and off-Broadway and, most especially, London.
There's always been a pipeline, I think, with plays coming to New York from London because producers believe that American theatergoers love British accents. Even if they're replaced with American cast, they love British accents.
And this year will be no exception. In short order, several British imports will be landing on this side of the Atlantic. The Pitman Painters, Brief Encounter, and in a particularly risky commercial gamble, La Bête, a short-lived Broadway flop from the 1990s. It's set in 17th century France, written in rhyming couplets, and stars Mark Rylance and David Hyde Pierce in a pair of juicy comic roles.
I'd say you have the power to depress with every single syllable you speak, with every monologue that takes a week, and every self-adoring witticism.
Well, do you mean this as a criticism?
Sonia Friedman has produced plays on both sides of the Atlantic and is the lead producer on La Bête. She says there's a reason London is such a fertile proving ground for plays. There's a loyal theater-going audience, and ticket prices are affordable. Most important, it costs about a third as much to mount a play over there than on Broadway.
An average-sized play that will run in London for, say, 14, 16 weeks would normally cost between £350,000 and £500,000 sterling. That very same production, if you were to mount it on Broadway, would probably cost between $2.5 and $3.5 million.
And weekly running costs are 3 to 4 times more expensive in New York. Friedman attributes much of the difference to labor, but there are other factors. To lure Broadway audiences to spend $125 a ticket, you've got to pay a lot for advertising.
Just a simple commercial TV ad in New York is 3 times the amount of my marketing budget for the whole of the London run.
International Herald Tribune critic Matt Wolfe, an American who's lived in London for 26 years, says lower production costs in the West End lead to more experimentation, but there's a reason why producers want to take the leap to Broadway.
You often hear people saying if they have a London hit, they'll often say, gosh, I wish that had been a Broadway hit, because that rare time out in New York when you absolutely go hell for leather with a production and it pays back, you can make proper money. London, you don't lose as much, but you also don't earn as much.
That financial incentive has led producer Sonia Friedman to try something new with La Bête.
I put together something that's never been done before, which is sort of a global capitalization, global budget for both West End and Broadway. We thought, why wait, given that if this was going to be a success, and you always set out on a show assuming it will be, we would be transferring it to Broadway. So let's just make the decision to do it and to do it all as one and not wait to read the reviews.
La Bête's London run has sold out despite mixed reviews. And the Broadway run begins on September 23rd with some money already in the bank. Friedman's not the only innovator. A couple of American producers have developed first-look relationships with some of London's most prestigious nonprofit institutions. Bob Boyette's deal is with the National Theatre.
I provide them with a sum of money on an annual basis, and that money is used however they wish for development of new products. And in return for that, I have an option to transfer the productions from the National here to New York and to North America.
Sometimes Boyette's arrangement with the National has been wildly successful. His transfer of the History Boys in 2006 mopped up at the Tony Awards. But the next year, Coram Boy was a 30-performance disaster. Success in London does not necessarily ensure success in New York, says critic Matt Wolff.
Last season, there was a multi-million-dollar Broadway flop with Enron, which had been a great success in London, and I don't think anyone guessed that it would fail in New York quite so quickly. It only lasted a couple of weeks.
You know the difference between the state of California and the Titanic? At least when the Titanic went down, the lights were on.
Bob Boyette lost money on Enron, too. This season, he's bringing two shows over from the National. First up, at the Manhattan Theatre Club, is The Pitman Painters, a London hit based on a real story of miners in northern England who became celebrated artists.
And it was a fascinating concept for men that are in the dark all day long working in mines, how they saw the outside world, the way they saw color, the way they saw contrast.
I'm so terribly sorry. I didn't quite catch that.
You do you ought, do you not?
Do you teach?
Whether or not The Pitman Painters is lost in translation on Broadway remains to be seen. But Bob Boyette doesn't see the London pipeline shutting down anytime soon.
You're just in an atmosphere where you can develop without as great a risk, and you can take more chances.
The Pitman Painters begins performances on September 14th. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
Tomorrow on Weekend Edition Sunday, Jeff London looks at another trend on Broadway, small plays with big stars. He talks with James Earl Jones about his upcoming appearance in Driving Miss Daisy, and Patrick Stewart about starring in David Mamet's A Life in the Theater.